Such an honor to be here with all of you. It's so good to be back and to see everyone, the faces of the wonderful people that I have come to love so very much. And it is truly an honor to be back with all of you. Thank you for your prayers, because as you will find out very shortly, our boys are very active little boys. And they like to move, they like to run, they like to jump, they like to hit things occasionally. So if you're locked into an airplane with such a personality for 24 hours, anything can happen. So we needed much grace and much travel mercy, and the Lord was kind enough to grant us all of those things. And I know it was because of your prayers, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. That you were praying for us, because they truly were very effectual prayers, and the Lord touched us and helped us. There are a few times that Malachi got a little crazy and went sprinting down the aisle, but that was to be expected on such a long flight for a 1.5-year-old. So it is so good to have my wife and my family with me. They have heard me talk about Singapore for years now, for 2 years, and how much I love it and how wonderful it is. And I am so glad that they are here. The Lord has allowed, opened a doorway for them to come. And I am so thankful that they get to see you, to shake your hand, to get to know you. And we are here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We are here for you and for Him. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here for anything to do with us. We are here for you, and we are here for Him. And we have been sent here by Him, and we are stand ready to pour ourselves into what God is doing in this region and in this church and in this nation. We are ready to pour ourselves into and do anything we can to help the will of God come to pass in this nation. Because I believe there's a sense of destiny. There's a sense you can really feel the ebb and flow of the Holy Ghost and the transition that is taking place. And I stand by what my friend Brother Green came to prophesy to you. What a great man of God. I'm so thankful that he was here. And I believe that, and I feel that this doubling potential, it's not just words. It's not just spoken things that are randomly said. It is divinely orchestrated strategically by the hand of God and for the will of God. And it is His will that we take this nation for the glory of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this morning? Is anybody ready to take it as an ambassador of Christ, to take this nation for the glory of our Lord? That's the purpose. That is the plan. And before we go on with what I felt the Lord has placed upon my heart, I just want to say I'm so glad my wife is here. I love my wife. She is my best friend. And I'm so thankful that she is here. Now, there's something that you'll learn about my wife. She does not like it when I call her my apostolic supermodel. But I know my friends here in Singapore will stand by me, and you will let her know you've hardly ever heard me use that term. Only a couple of thousand times. So I knew I'd get a lot of good support from my friends here, ACC, backing me up on that. But I'm so glad she's here. She is just as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. And I'm just so thankful that she is in my life. And our son's here. This is Malachi. If you have not seen him, he's 1.5. Thank you for praying for him. I know many of you were getting in touch with us through social media. He's been in the hospital for 3 days. So he's doing well. He's got his strength back. So, and this is Zion. I'm going to wave to everyone, Zion. Turn around and wave. Say hello. That's our 5-year-old. And it is our pleasure and our honor to be here with you. I want to give great honor to your pastor and my very dear friend, Pastor Bobby. How many of you are thankful for Pastor Bobby in your life? Very blessed. You're very blessed. As we'll read in our text, the Lord gave gifts to men. And one of the gifts He gave to men and to the church was the gift of a pastor. And you are very blessed beyond measure to have this man as your pastor and Sister Cynthia as your first lady. What a wonderful, wonderful couple. And it's my honor to be able to call them friends, not just acquaintances, not just people I met, but they're very dear to my heart. And I am so very glad to be here and to be spending time with them and with all of you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4. I want to read just a few scriptures here and have several scriptures that I would like to reference. It's just so good to see all of my wonderful friends here. Just looking forward to spending time with you. We are here for you, so if you have a question, if there's something you want to talk to us about, any of those things, we are here for you. So we just want to be of service to you in whatever way that we can. And so we are here to talk to you, to pray with you. Please don't be afraid to ask us to help you pray about things. That's what we're here for. We would love to do that. It would be our honor to do that. So, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 7. Ephesians 4 and verse number 7. And the word of the Lord says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Now, I want to focus on that for a moment, because when I read that this morning in prayer, that the Lord quickened something to my mind that He had quickened to my mind in the past, but He brought it to my mind yet again. Ephesians 4 and 7, "But to each one of us," and I want you to think about what is written here through the unction of the Holy Ghost as Paul is writing this epistle. "Grace to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." All of you are gifted in some way. You are. And the Lord spoke to me this morning and said there is a spirit of inferiority that is trying to come against the minds of my people in Singapore. And I want you to tell them that I have anointed them and appointed them to take their nation for my name. And I will use them, not just ministry, I will use them as ministers in the city to do exploits in my name for my glory. He's going to empower you as the church of the living God, not just in the four walls of this beautiful building, but outside in your personal lives, in a cell meeting with coworkers and colleagues. God is going to use you to pour out of yourself that gift He has placed inside of you. And it's going to be activated by the supernatural power of God and the authority of His holy name as never before. You're not just entering a season of harvest, but you are entering a season where the gift that God has given you is going to begin to flow with perfect harmony and unction as never before. You're going to find a boldness come upon you that you've not found in times past. And you're going to step out of your comfort zone and into the glorious manifestation and flow of the Spirit of God. That is the will of God for this nation. He's not just going to use ministry. Of course, He's going to use ministry, but He is going to empower His saints and His people as never before to do the work of ministry. "But grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." What's the correlation there? I have to have more grace the stronger the gift is in my life. Why? Because in order for that gift to reach maturity, and in order for that gift to flow in the total essence of how God intended it to flow when He gave it to you and imparted it to you, you will need grace to make it through the prophetic processes God puts you in. Because all of us have to be refined by the fires of adversity. All of us. That's why the apostle said, "Think it not strange, this fiery trial that has come upon you," as if some strange thing has happened to you. In other words, what he was saying is, real authentic apostles and apostolic people don't just wonder, where did all this adversity come from? This is just supposed to be an easy life. Things are just supposed to blow open for us. A real apostolic knows that's not exactly how this thing is going to play out. It's not how it was intended to play out. We have to go through some things. The refining fires of process after process. Why? So that gift can be refined by the power of God. So that it can flow in the totality that God intended it to flow in. And I want to tell somebody right now, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, the adversity you're fighting is no fault of your own. The problems that you have seen, the obstacles that have been thrown in your way in your ministry that is unfolding, it's not through any fault of your own. You haven't missed something. It's part of the refining fires of a prophetic process. And God is using that. You may think there's no possible way God could be using what I'm going through right now for the good. No possible way. It's just too hurtful. It's just too painful. It causes too many questions. But I'm going to tell you right now in the Holy Ghost, God has you where you are intentionally to teach you to trust in Him in a deeper level than you are currently trusting in Him. Because when you can operate in the fullest power of trusting in the hand of God, that gifting that is within you will flow unhindered, unfettered, and it'll begin to flow, and the people that God sends you to will be edified by His power and the graciousness of His gift that He placed inside of you. And I want to encourage somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. Don't fight where you are if God led you there. Don't fight that. You trust in Him. Because God has you there for a purpose. And there was something that you are to learn in all of the adversity that may be going on and that is surrounding you in your life right now. God has you there. He knows where you are. He led you to where you are. Just trust in Him. Just trust in Him. And you'll find that what happens will transcend everything that you could have ever scripted, everything you could have imagined, everything that you could have written down, prognosticated, or tried to predict. God's will be better than anything that any human mind could have ever concocted or come up with. I can assure you of that. But trust in Him, for He is your rock. He is your anchor, and the anchor still holds. He will get you through this. This is a part of how God is going to use you. And there are things happening to you, although you do not think they're happening to you right now. They're happening to you right now. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost as a witness of His Spirit is here in this sanctuary this morning. And I'm so very, very thankful for His indescribable gift, the Bible tells us. The greater the gift, the greater the grace you're going to need for that gift to come into the fullness of maturity. And the fullness of it operating for the edification of those that you were sent to and for the glory of His name. But He is your anchor. And you put your trust in Him and all things will work out. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore He says when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. This is why calling thoughts into captivity is so important, because of this verse right here. When He ascended on high, He led captivity captive. Just think of calling thoughts into captivity that would try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Just think of that conceptually as rounding up things that are hindering you and placing them in a place called captivity. And then when Christ comes, He leads what you've placed in captivity captive. He takes it away from you, so it's no longer thwarting you. It's no longer hindering you. That's the power of His Word. That's the power of that verse. Calling thoughts and calling things, putting them into captivity, because Jesus takes captivity captive and takes it away from you. And then going down to verse 11, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I want to capitalize on that last verse. For the equipping of the saints, say saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus is moving this church into a season of equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to speak to you about the attributes of an ambassador. The attributes of an ambassador. Can you put your Bibles down? Can we go before the Lord? Can you just slip your hands up into the air right now? Lord Jesus, we magnify You. That's it. Just let your voice out. We worship You in this house. Mighty God, we come in total faith. We're asking You, God, that You have Your sovereign will, that Your way would be done, O mighty God, and that it would not be missed, that the will of God would come to fruition, that Your glory would fill this house, that You would touch Your people, that they would see You more clearly than they've ever seen You before. Mighty God, that You would loose revelation to flow in this house and understanding. Anoint us with the anointing of an ambassador of Christ. Let us speak by Your unction, O God, and Your unction alone, and let every syllable that that is uttered, mighty God, in this sanctuary today be uttered for the glory of your name and the edification of your people. Mighty God, I take dominion as your ambassador over every conflicting thought and every foul spirit that would dare try to steal glory from you. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and I bind it right now, and I uproot it at its core. Every stronghold must fall. Every opposing spirit, you can't stand. You can't stand before the church of the living God. You can't stand before the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus is against you. The power of his anointing is against you right now. And this assembly will be loosed to operate in the supernatural as never before. For the glory of our Lord Jesus, they will take the streets. They will walk in the streets. Anointed ambassadors sent forward to do your work of ministry in this nation. Can you clap your hands unto the Lord if you feel a witness, if you feel the power of the peace of our King, the Lord Jesus? Oh, thank you, Lord. We give you glory in this place. The attributes of an ambassador. The Lord has been dealing with me about this as of late. I was driving in our hometown in Texas, and a van passed me, and it was a very nice van. It was a van of some business or another. There's so many personal businesses. Didn't really recall which one, but it was decked out in the graphics of that particular company and its name and its logo. And I could tell the person driving the van probably didn't own the company. They were employed by it. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me as I was driving, said, "I have anointed you to do my business in my name." And just like that driver in the van, it's not your van. It's not your business. It's mine. But I have anointed you to conduct business in my name everywhere you go. And I want you to tell my people I have anointed them with the same. You are anointed to conduct business for the King in his name everywhere you are led. Everywhere you go, not just on Sunday at 11, not just on Wednesdays at 7 or whatever it is you guys have prayer together, not just in cell group, whatever day of the week that may fall on, but every single place you go, you are anointed to conduct business in the name of the King for the glory of the King. Now, it's not our business. It's his business. It's not for our personal gain, it's for his glory and someone else's edification. That's what all this is about. Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ. That's why the word of God says that this treasure is in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power will be at God, of God, and not of ourselves. It's not our business, it's his business. But I have found the cliche and the saying very true, that if you make your business his business, he makes his business your business. And I can assure you, that is exactly what the Lord is wanting to do in this place. There are some of you that own businesses. Some of you have your careers. And the Lord wants me to tell you right now, if you will make his business your business as never before, he will bless your finances and he will bless your house and everyone in your house as never before in your entire life. If you will sell out to him and give to him as never before and make his business truly your business, be absolutely inextricably enthralled with the work of God and be in love with it as never before. And I can promise you this. You will be blessed beyond measure. You will be blessed in an unprecedented manner. Does anybody receive that in the house this morning? As never before, the blessings of God will and shall come upon you if you become obsessed with his business. An ambassador does not operate in his own interest. He or she operates in the interest of the kingdom they represent. And this is the problem you find with so many people. They're in it for their kingdom. They're in it for their personal increase. And that's not what this thing is about. But we are in this, and our responses need to be by his Spirit, his love, and his truth. And our responses need to be in the best interest of his kingdom, not the best interest of our profit. or our personal gain, but the best interest of his kingdom. Because that's the mentality of an ambassador of Christ. He operates with the best interest of the kingdom of God, not his own. And when you do that, God will bless you as never before. And you'll find yourself in situations that God led you into that you would have never been in had you just been conducting business in a manner that is best and most profitable for you all the time. And as humans, and in the human condition, in the fallen nature of the human condition, this becomes very easy to sink back into. I do what's best for me because it makes me feel better. I do what's best for me because that's what we do. And it's very easy to slip back into that. But I'm finding out that all the kingdom principles of Christ are very much counterintuitive. And they very much are in defiance of all conventional wisdom whatsoever. Amen. We have been led into some things in our ministry and our life that we would have never gotten approval for in some board meeting or appropriations committee. Never. I had a diesel truck. Okay, this diesel truck, diesel in America is $5 a gallon at this particular time. And I had to drive 17 hours pulling a motorhome, a fifth-wheel travel trailer behind me. 17 hours drive, $5 a gallon in diesel, it gets 8 miles to the gallon. So not very good, not very high miles per gallon. Not a very economical vehicle, to be honest with you. But if you live in a travel trailer, there's no other way to move it but this massive, colossal monstrosity of a truck. So that's what we had to drive. So we're going 17 hours one way with hardly any money, with $5 a gallon for diesel, pulling this massive travel trailer to go preach an event that we know we're not getting paid for. No offering. But when they asked us to come, we just did it. I said, okay, here we go. This is what we're going to do. And we went and we drove 17 hours. We got there, we preached the event. Remember, no offering in this event. 17 hours away from home with my family. So I'm thinking, surely when we get there, people are going to start asking us, oh, would you come preach for me since you're in the area? Well, the first night of the conference went great. And guess what? Nobody asked us to come preach the coming weekend. Second day, night conference was incredible. It was truly life-changing. Again, at the end, no one asking us to come preach. Third night, absolute last possible minute. I'm thinking at their altar call, a pastor's going to walk up and say, come preach for me. I'll give you $5,000 per word you say. I'm just expecting something because we're down to nothing. We've been given food by farmers to eat. It's all we had. We kept the food for weeks and weeks and it never spoiled. Absolute miraculous provision of God. We ate produce. What was it, squash or cabbage? We had squash and cabbage. My wife fixed that. The next night, we had squash and cabbage. The next night, we had squash and cabbage. And the next night, we had some more squash and cabbage. And it just kept on going and lasting forever and ever. God just kept multiplying. It was absolutely incredible. And I just kept expecting somebody to walk up and ask us to preach. At the altar call, it's the last night. We don't even have enough money to get back to where, you know, what we called home in Texas. We're in Florida at the time. Central Florida. Guess what? Altar call comes, altar call goes, and nobody's asking us to come preach. No preach, no eat. Live by faith, live by the mercy of the people of the Lord God when you're in full-time ministry as an evangelist. So nothing happening. So I'm thinking, man, this economic recovery thing isn't really going so well. So here we go. We go out to eat at the church in the fellowship hall. They've prepared a dinner for everyone. We're sitting around. We eat our meal. We fellowship. And now I'm thinking someone's going to come up and ask us to preach now that we're at the meal. There's pastors around. Someone will ask us. Well, we eat, we fellowship, we hang around, we help them put up tables. We're one of the last people to leave. Still, nobody. We're one of the last people to leave the fellowship hall. And finally, somebody walks up and says, hey, I want you to preach. And as they're talking to me, somebody hands me a phone, says, my pastor's on the line. He wants to schedule you for the next week. And it worked like that week by week for 6 or 7 weeks. We had nowhere idea where we were going. None of it made sense. And I told that long, elaborate story to say this. Sometimes the will of God doesn't make good sense.
You just have to have enough trust to say, I do not see the big picture. All I see is the next step. And I know it's of God, and I'm going to take it. And oftentimes, you have no idea what you're doing until the very last possible moment. And then God opens up another door, opens up another window, and then you go through that one. And you will not get to the big picture unless you go through the subsequent doors and steps, one after another. But if you're living by faith, and we all have to live by faith, you are submitting to the concept, I'm going to live blind. Because what is faith? It's the evidence of things not seen. So clearly, you can't see it. So when you're living by faith, you are living blind. And to live blind, you have to trust the person that is guiding you as never before. Because if you don't, you're going to be absolute psychological grease fire. You're going to be eaten up with anxiety and troubling, fearful thoughts. But I want to tell somebody right now in the Holy Ghost, just trust in Him. And take one step after another. And you will be amazed where you end up. It'll be a place you would have never found on your own. But because God led you, and because you trusted Him enough, what He'll bring you to, His sovereign will, is so incredible and transcendent, it'll blow your mind. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. Have you ever seen the trust-building exercise? This is kind of what the... This is an analogy to walking by faith. Have you ever seen the trust-building exercise where they take your wife and they blindfold you and they put your wife on the other end of a room and there are obstacles all in the room. They've built an obstacle course in the room. Your wife has a microphone. You are blindfolded. As the husband, you can't see. And she guides you through the obstacle course by directions. Just by telling you, okay, go two steps, stop. Take two steps to the left, stop. Take two steps forward, stop. And then she can get you through that maze and get you to the other end if you trust her enough to listen to her. But if you're doubting her all the time, she said two steps, but she's not very good at spatial judgment. I'm just going to go ahead and take three. And bam, you walk right into a wall. And you cause yourself some harm. Unnecessary harm. But how did that come about? You didn't trust your guide like you needed to trust your guide. Because they can see the big picture. You can't. Lord quickened something in my spirit not long ago. He said, walking with me is very much the same. This is all very much a husband-wife relationship between the bride of Christ and Christ, our husband. It's very much the same thing. The dynamics of the relationship are very, very similar and akin to one another. And it's a similar situation. Now, sometimes you'll see the wife say, take three steps, because she wants to see her husband run into a wall. But my wife would never do that to me. But I have seen it done. God's not like that. He's not going to tempt you with evil. He's not going to let you smash up into a wall face first just to teach you a lesson, okay? That's not how He does things. He's not going to say to you, take three steps if you're going to fall off a cliff. He'll say, take two steps and stop. And that's the most frustrating one. Stop. Wait on me. That is the most agonizing command to hear Christ say. Wait on me. Because none of us like to wait. In America we call them lines. Here you call them queues. Nobody likes a queue. A long queue. If the queues are long, that's not a good thing. That's a sense of foreboding. It's an ominous thing. You don't want a long queue. Why? Because you don't like to wait. You go to a restaurant, it takes an hour and a half for them to get the food to the table after you order it. That's not a positive experience. Why? Because the human condition does not like to wait. God knows this. That's why sometimes He says, take two steps and stop. Because you're at the precipice of a cliff, and until I can build the bridge, I don't want you taking another step. So you have to wait on Him. And I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, I was not supposed to spend so much time here, I can assure you that. But I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, you're at the precipice. And if you take a step now, it'll damage you. Almost irreparable if you push Him and say, I'm going to make it happen. You wait on Him because You're at the precipice of a cliff you can't see because remember, we're in faith. We're blind. We don't know what's going around. We can see the big picture. You're standing at the precipice of something. He's building a bridge underneath your feet, but it's not complete yet. So you have to wait on him. And then when he green lights you again, you'll walk across what formerly would have killed you had you taken that step. But if you just wait on the timing of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can walk across to perfect safety because he built a bridge literally under your feet. And I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost that right now. You're in an agonizing time of waiting, but he's building a bridge across the precipice that you don't even know is there right now. And he's almost through, but he's constructing it. And you're going to have to wait on him and trust in him so that you can walk across to perfect safety. And I'm aware of how agonizing it is to wait upon the Lord. But the Lord kept giving me scriptures not long ago. Just wait upon me. Wait upon me. Be still and know I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. And I feel that's a prophetic word for somebody in this sanctuary this morning. Be still and know he is God, and he will be exalted amongst the nations. Just wait on him. Just wait on him. It's an attribute of an ambassador, trusting in him. And I want to tell you something that Pastor was mentioning earlier about giving. That's a powerful thing. Powerful thing. Do not succumb to materialism. We fight that so hard and so strongly right now back in the States, in the southern region where I'm from, the United States. Materialism is absolutely crippling. Not all churches, obviously, but some. Do not succumb to that, because the spirit of materialism is the very same as the spirit of mammon. And Jesus said very plainly, you cannot serve me and mammon. It's one or the other. You'll either chase wealth and affluence, or you'll follow me. That's why I told one young disciple, sell everything you own and follow me. It was too much for him to bear. He said, oh, and by the way, we don't even know where we're sleeping tonight, but just throwing that out there. Foxes have a hole, birds have a nest, but I don't even know where I'm sleeping tonight. So if you want to walk with us, it's one step at a time. But you got to get rid of all this materialistic stuff. That's what Jesus was telling them. It's very much the same now. You have to bind the spirit of mammon. God gave me this months ago. I think I shared it with you in December. I want to share it again. Bind the spirit of mammon from inhibiting ministry. Because through materialistic selfishness, you will keep things to yourself that you could give unto the kingdom. We all fight these impulses. All of us. Does it make you a bad person? It doesn't make you evil. It makes you human. It makes you normal. You have to fight through those things. But we all will come where we go to write the check or you go to give. I want to hold back a little. But that's dangerous. Just ask Ananias and Sapphira. That happened in the New Testament. Past Calvary, in the dispensation of grace. They held back, they lied about it, and God killed them right there, right then. Fight through that. Overcome that. Get victory over that materialistic spirit, because materialism in its root will always try to get you to spend lavishly on yourself what you could invest in the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's a powerful thing. As you begin to give, you'll find that the giving end of the hose never wants for water. God will always bless you if you give. But you don't give to be blessed. You give to bless. And God makes sure, as I told you, he makes his business your business. He looks out for you when you invest in the kingdom. Doesn't mean you just get all reckless and crazy. It just means you invest in the kingdom. And sometimes what he asks you to give will defy, I'll just tell you now, conventional wisdom. It will. The numbers won't add up at the time you give it. But by the time it's sown... After it's sown and after the investment is made, then the numbers, God will make them match and add up. Your budget will be fine. You just give what the Lord has placed upon your heart to give. The Lord showed me something. I was getting ready for service in Groves, Texas. And I went to the restroom to wash my hands, and I was washing my hands. And as I looked into the mirror, God gave me a vision of the Spirit. And in the vision, I saw this massive hand, and it was clenching a vast amount of money in United States denominations, and it was a handful of money, and it had a death grip on this money. It would not release it. Then all of a sudden, the power of God came upon that hand, and that hand began to release and let go of that money. And the finance began to flow into the harvest field in the kingdom of God. And as soon as that hand released its death grip upon that finance, a white hot, it looked like white phosphorus, explosion took place behind that hand. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he said, in the end time, there are dimensions that you pray your way into. There are dimensions you fast your way into. There are dimensions you give your way into. But he said, my end time church is going to find itself in such a place that it has to fast, pray, and give its way into the dimension that I have for it. It was an explosion. And I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, if you follow that and just loose that finance in the kingdom of God, it'll blow your mind what God does in your life and in your family and with your business and your finances. Just trust in him. Because that is one of the paramount and most salient attributes of an ambassador of Christ. They trust in God. Just trust him. Is anybody ready to trust him in this next season of time for the church? Are you ready to trust him? God has such great things in store for this wonderful body of believers. He truly does. Such great things in store. In the coming months, it has nothing to do with us being here. That's not what I'm trying to suggest. But in the coming months, it just happens to be a season you're in. God is going to do some things that are going to blow your mind. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, there are ministries in the womb of my church in Singapore at ACC. Ministries. In the womb of this church. You want to affect the region? You don't just reach people. You produce ministries as well. And then they begin to colonize this entire nation. And cell groups. I was drawn back in September, I believe it was. It might have been February. To cell groups in the Holy Ghost. God is going to start doing some supernatural things in the cell groups that are attached to this church. Supernatural things. Expect healing in those cell groups. Do not be afraid to stop everything. Stop your schedule. Lay hands on those that are having trouble emotionally or physically. Right there in the living room or the home, wherever you are. Pray for them right then. Because the Holy Ghost spoke to me not long ago and said, I'm going to do some supernatural things amongst them in the cell groups. And I will colonize, the Lord will colonize this nation. By what begins to take place in those cell groups. There will be daughter works born out of cell groups attached to this church. If you believe that, say hallelujah. There will be daughter works born attached to this church. And it'll start with a cell group that just gets out of control. Where you don't even have enough room to host the people that are drawn to your cell group. And then you have to find a building. And then you pack the building. Guess what? We call that a church. That's going to begin to happen. Daughter works that will become sovereign churches. Is that okay? You receive that? I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, it's getting ready to happen. Because there are ministries that are going to be birthed in the spirit realm in this church. You're here this morning. You're here right now. And the hand of God is mightily upon you. And that anointing is going to become, it's going to become kindled. And it's going to become very fervent. It's going to become very strong. And God is going to lead you into places that you never could have thought that you could go in the kingdom of God to be used of him for his glory. But I can promise you that. He's going to start using you in those cell groups. And I really feel to address this. I want to bind, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to bind that inferiority that would come against your minds. Because you are the bride of Christ. And Ephesians 4 tells us, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, the teacher, are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. What that tells me is this. When you're out in the marketplace or a mall and someone feels drawn to you and you don't know why, and you begin to talk to them and you find out they have a need in their life, you don't have to call Pastor Bobby to come meet you there to pray for them. If he's nearby, it's a good idea because he's a powerful man of God and he's your pastor. That's fine. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. What I'm saying is you are equipped through your pastor, through the fivefold ministry that comes through this wonderful church, you are equipped for the work of ministry. In other words, think nothing of praying for them right there where you are in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let that gift be stirred in you, because you can be used of God in a powerful way. You can see people healed. You can see miracles take place. You can see people delivered, because you are the anointed and appointed body of Christ. And that is a powerful thing. There is no more powerful entity in the world today than the church of the living God. There's no greater power than the power that rests upon the Jesus blood-bought, baptized, sanctified church, apostolic church. And you are loosed to operate in that anointing wherever you go. And I can't get it off my mind. I just want to tell you, wherever you go, be open and sensitive to the Holy Ghost to use you and come upon you and guide you. Because you're going to see things you've never seen him do before. But you have to step out in boldness and faith to see it happen. And we have to be sold out to this thing as never before. Spiritual disciplines, prayer and fasting with all of our heart. Because there's just no shortcut into the deeper territory in the spirit realm, into the things of God, than prayer, fasting. There's no shortcut. There's no bypass. Prayer, fasting, consecration, and sacrifice. That's it. That is the way you deepen your walk with him. And I want to tell you, you are who God has called you to be. You're not what society tells you you are. You're not what your mind tells you you are. You are what God has called you to be. And you are nothing less. And there is no hope of being anything more. We are what God says we are. Because that's the power of his word. He spoke, and out of nothing came something. An anonymous author made such a beautiful and brilliant quote not long ago. A friend of mine was telling me about it. He said, God came from nowhere because there was nowhere for him to come from. He created everything. And he spoke out into nothing and told something to hang on nothing. And it did. That's the power of the spoken word of God. It doesn't make sense to us. God came from nowhere. Why? Well, there was nowhere for him to come from. He always has been and always will be. Has not beginning of days nor end of life. He's just God. You can't cognitively process that. There's no possible way, because we all have a beginning day, and we, if God tarries, we'll all have an end of life. It's just a natural path we all walk. So for God to just always be God just blows our little human minds, our finite minds. Truly does. But he spoke something into nothing, and it stood and hung on nothing. Planets, galaxies, space is ether, a vacuum. It's nothing. And it's all held there by the will of God and the word of God. All that is intricately, complexly designed by God himself is hanging and thriving on nothing. You try to hang your coat on nothing and see what happens. It's going to hit the floor. Why? Because when I say, coat, hang on nothing, it falls on the floor. Because I'm not God. But when God speaks, it is. That's why I was a drug addict, immersed in sin and a lascivious lifestyle. But God said, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to deliver you, and I'm going to anoint you to preach my gospel all over the world. And that's just what I became. Why? Because God spoke it, and whatever he speaks, that's what happens. And if God has anointed you to do the work of ministry in Singapore, guess what? You are anointed to do the work of ministry in Singapore. Why? Because your God said so. And whatever he says just materializes out of nothing into something. Because that's the power of the spoken word of God. He speaks and it happens. Instant obedience. And that's where we have to get. Instant obedience. When he called Lucifer the father of lies, had Lucifer done nothing but been a Boy Scout and told the truth his entire existence? When Jesus said, you're the father of lies, that's what he became instantly. Why? Because whatever Jesus says happens. And you are what Jesus has called you to be. You are his hands and feet. You are his ambassador. When you go forth and you leave this place in the coming week, you be mindful of that. I am the ambassador of Christ. Wherever I go, God himself has anointed me with all the authority and all the power of his kingdom. It's upon me and behind me, backing me up. Wherever you go, and be looking for opportunities to minister. I'm not saying get out and get reckless and get yourself thrown in jail. Okay? That's not what I'm suggesting to you. I'm suggesting you follow the Holy Ghost. And when you feel that unction upon you from the power of God, you obey it instantly. And just be mindful of opportunities to minister, because that's what ambassadors do. They're always looking for the moment and the time that they can speak and the kingdom they represent's interest. And that's what we are to do as his ambassadors of Christ. We speak in his interest. We respond in his interest. What does his word say about the situation? That's what I better be doing. All in line and in alignment with his interest, his word, and his power. Amen. That is what we were designed and created to do. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Amen. I want to come to a close. I know I've taken a lot of time. I want to come to a close as quickly as possible. But there's so many scriptures that I feel the Lord has placed upon my heart to share with you. And I know we're going to be here for 3 months, so we don't obviously have to get everything in the first time. But there are some things that people are saying, yes, please don't. We are very hungry. It is almost 1 o'clock. There are some things that I want to share with you very quickly. This is a powerful scripture in 2 Corinthians 4 that the Lord gave me, and I quoted it earlier, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's what an ambassador does. He operates on behalf of the kingdom he represents, not for his own personal gain and not for materialistic gain, obviously. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. In other words, there's going to be some days in this walk with God, things just don't go super well. He said, we're always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That's not a great day. That's not a skipping, hopping, whistling, singing kind of day. That's a bad day. We're always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. But how can the life of Jesus be activated and manifested in us? By always caring about the dying of the Lord Jesus. So there's great power. That's why Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Notice that. He said, pick up your cross. He didn't say pick up your luxury. He didn't say pick up your Louis Vuitton. I love Louis Vuittons. My wife just said, I wish. Love Louis Vuittons, very nice. But he didn't say pick up your Prada suit, your Gucci shoes, your Ray-Ban sunglasses. He said pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, this is not going to be an easy walk, but I got you. In the States, it's a cliche saying, I got this. That's what Jesus is saying. Just follow me. I got this. Okay? I know you have a cross. I know it's going to be hard, but my grace is sufficient for you, and I've got this. Just walk with me. Just trust me. That's what ambassadors do, and I'll lead you through every complex situation that you do not see a way out of. I will make for you a way of escape, because that's what I do for my people. Because when we have a high expectancy of him, he always exceeds our expectations. Always. Pick up your cross and follow him into your destiny. Into your destiny. The Lord spoke to me. I typed something on social media as we were about to leave on Facebook. I said, the Adams family's en route. I think it's some destination, Singapore. After I wrote that, the Lord guided me to destination. It blew me away. I said, break that word down. Said Singapore is a destiny nation. That's what he said. This is a special place. What God is doing here is going to infect, it's going to affect and infect for the kingdom of God this entire region of Asia. That's why the Lord wants me to address inferiority complexes in the sanctuary this morning. You are a special people. And what God is doing is solely and purely supernatural. His anointing is mightily upon you. And you just expect things to happen in a supernatural manner because they're going to. Because you are special in the eyes of God. This is a destiny nation. Not just a destination. A destiny nation. And God has anointed it for great and mighty things. And we're going to see those things come to pass. If you believe that, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Can you clap your hands unto the Lord right now? Can we give Him glory for what He's doing? Lord Jesus, we magnify You in this house. Thank You, mighty God. One more scripture and I'm coming to a close. If the musicians want to come and just play in the background, that's fine. Just some musical accompaniment. An ambassador of Christ understands that you have to be Christ-like to be His ambassador. If you're not Christ-like, then we're not very successful at being His ambassador, because that just shows people that we're after the interest of our kingdom and not His kingdom. And people are repelled by that. They're not attracted to that. And so the enemy wants us, he's wanting us to become more relevant to the world so that we can attract the world. It doesn't work that way. In theory, it works. And to conventional wisdom, even, it may sound halfway plausible. Because I can relate to them if they think I'm like them. But here's what happens psychologically and spiritually. The things in the physical are a shadow and copy of the things in the spiritual. And the physical, the opposite spectrum, the opposite ends of a magnet attract each other. Why? Because opposites attract. My wife and I can prove this. We're almost opposite in every single possible way that you can quantify. Foods, flavors, everything. Opposites attract. Makes up for the deficiencies of another. Opposites attract. The enemy wants us to be the same as the world because sameness repels. And he understands the power of divine difference. Being marked for greatness in the kingdom means you have to pay the price and wear the label of divine difference. That you are markably different, notably different than everybody around you. And when I was sitting in the marketplace just yesterday, my son had succumbed to jet lag and crashed and fell asleep right there in our laps. So I was sitting there with him and they were walking around. The Lord spoke to my spirit and said, I want you to tell my people to embrace the fact that I have made them different than everybody else around them. Because if they think you're exactly like you are, the hurting people in this nation that are struggling with things, addictions and vices and pain and hurt, if they think you're exactly like they are, you entertain yourself with the same things. The same things come into you that come into them. Why would they seek you out for counsel? Why would they even feel drawn to you? Because sameness repels, but difference attracts. And if they feel peace in your life, they're going to want to know, how can I acquire such a blessed peace in mine? But if all they feel is the chaos of this world, because we just entertain ourselves with the same things that everyone else in the world entertains themselves with. And I know not all of those things are inimical to the Word of God. I think it's very obvious, but a vast majority of them are. But we're not of the world. We're of the Word of God. We march to the beat of a different drummer. This world is in trouble. The spirit of Antichrist has this world going in the wrong direction at a rapid, rapid rate. There's an interfaith movement springing up where you don't have to claim any type of absolutes. It's a global movement of peace, they say, is coming. In America, they're talking about it and applauding it as a great thing where everyone can exist in this one great big faith. We can just accept everything and be open to everything. But I assure you, that is not what Jesus Christ taught. That is not what Jesus Christ spoke. He said, I came to bring division. What kind of division? The division of difference and the division of decisions. Because people that walk with me and my disciples are going to have to make decisions. They're going to have to pick up their cross and follow me. They're going to have to walk blinded by faith and trust me. They're going to have to be able to wear the label of divine difference and not blend into the world around them. That's the power of being notably, remarkably different. There's a movement out there that is absolutely crippling this world. That's why you found people in Egypt willing to die for what they could not define. The lady said, I'm willing to die for this. I said, what do you want? She said, I don't even know. I'm just here and I know what I don't want. But I don't really even know what I do want. Can I tell you the people out there beyond these walls are very much the same. And when you find yourself being manipulated by a force that would allow you to be willing to die for something that you can't even define, something so nebulous, something so coded, you have to realize and acknowledge I'm being manipulated by something beyond my control and a force that I don't understand. It's a powerful thing to make that observation, because there's people out there that are being manipulated by the forces of hell, and we are anointed by the power of God to reach those people, to minister to those people, to let the power of God and the gift of Christ flow out of us and into them. We're anointed for those things. We're appointed to do that. And there's people out there, they don't know what they want, but they know what they don't want. They're tired of the addictions. They're tired of the pain. They're tired of the abuse. They're tired of being exploited. They're tired of the selfishness of everyone around them. They don't know what they want. But if I walk into their world and I look the same as them and I act the same as them, they don't know that I have the information that could save their life, that could bring them out of darkness into His marvelous light. They don't know that I have the verses in the Word of God that can point them to the water where they can be baptized in Jesus' name. Where I can show them in the book of Acts. Where they can get the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, just like Acts 2 and Acts 8 and Acts 10 and Acts 16. They don't know to ask me for any of those things if they don't feel anything different when I am around them. That's why we must embrace divine differences and say, Lord Jesus, when I walk into a room, I want people not to notice me, not to notice my attire, not to ask me what I'm wearing, but to say, what is it? What is that glow about you? What is that peace that is flowing and emanating from within you? I can feel a difference in your life. That's demonstration. And it's the demonstration of the power of God that unlocks the doorway for the doctrine of the Word of God to be spoken. Doctrine does not unlock demonstration. Demonstration unlocks doctrine. It's the doorway. You can't go to them with doctrine first. They have their doctrine. The Hindu, the Buddhist, the Zen, they have their doctrine. They have their literature. It's not doctrine they're after. It's relationship with God in heaven that they're after. Relationship with Christ, identification as an apostolic, bearing His name. It's demonstration they're after. And you are anointed to be that difference in their life. So do not succumb to that spirit that would want you to be the same as they. Because in doing that, that spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, wants them to miss out on the thing that makes you different. And the spirit of Antichrist teaches anti everything Christ taught. Christ said, I am the way. I am the door. One faith, not interfaith, not a multiplicity or a myriad of faiths. He said one faith, one baptism, one way, and I am the way. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, not of man. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So do not step down or do not shy away from that opportunity to be a divine difference as an ambassador of Christ in somebody's life. Because I'm telling you, when you leave this place, you're going to find yourself led by the Spirit of God into hurting people's lives. And you can lay hands on them. You can smile at them. You can show them the love of God And do not be afraid to just make, don't make blanket vague statements like, you know, I'm a Christian or I'm just this or that. Tell them, I'm a one God Jesus name apostolic. I go to ACC. Invite them to church. And don't be afraid or intimidated to be that divine difference that they're going to need in their life to get them out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Can we stand together all over this sanctuary right now? The power of God is flowing in this house. There's a healing touch of the hand of God upon this sanctuary right now. Thank you, Jesus, for what we feel. Oh, that's it. Just slip your hands up into the Lord right now. Somebody surrender to Him. By the power of the name of the Lord Jesus. Mighty God, loose your people to be ambassadors for you as never before. Let a boldness come upon them. Let a revelation and an understanding come. Let that light begin to shine. That they are the salt of the earth. That they are the light of the world. And that they are, oh God, to season this world. That they are to pour themselves into, mighty God, hurting and dying humanity. Oh, come on, stretch your hands out to Him right now all over the sanctuary. Oh, yes, Jesus. We worship You in this house. Rain down from heaven a sovereign move of Thy Spirit, O King, right now. Embolden us to be used of You. Embolden us, O God, to take this nation for the glory of the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, somebody receive it right now. Step out in the aisle. Come up to the altar. The Lord wants to move. The Lord wants to impart some things right now by His Spirit and His power. Jesus, we worship You, O King. Oh, that said, as they sing, let Him take you deeper right now. Let Him take you deeper right now in His presence. He wants you to sit at His feet. He wants to impart some things at His feet that you're going to need in that field when you're reaching, hurting, and tying humanity. Jesus, in Your name. Yes, oh God. Flow by Your power. Flow by Your sovereignty. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, oh God. We worship You, O King. We worship You, O King. Yes, Lord. Pour out of Your Spirit upon them. Pour out of Your Spirit upon them. Oh, that's it. That's it.